The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
It's chilly. It is a chilly fall day today, is it not? Yeah.
I don't even know myself.
Chilly, chilly, chilly day. What do you mean you don't know yourself?
Well, I'm drinking a warm beverage. I don't like warm beverages. I'm just that cold.
I cannot believe that you, like in one fell swoop, say, I don't like warm beverages. So a whole classification of warm, comforting liquid will not come your way.
Nope.
That's so weird.
It's just the way it is. However, when I'm this cold, which rarely happens, that I'm this cold that I'm driven to, I've got a mug full of hot water with lemon, which is pretty good.
That is sad. No wonder you don't like warm beverages if that's what you have to look forward to.
Not
okay,
bad,
Kath, on this day, 10/30/20, October 30th, 2020, 10/30/20. Please, Kath, take a moment and give us the top four at four.
Your wish is my command.
Thank you.
Number one, U.S. households boosted spending for a fifth straight month, says the Wall Street Journal, helping the economy dig further out from the deep hole created by the pandemic. Consumers last month, John, spent more on cars, on clothes, on shoes, healthcare, fitness, and entertainment.
Really? You think they'd be saving in the pandemic and not spending?
No, be glad people are spending.
All right.
Moving on to number two. Walmart has removed all guns and ammo from the sales floor of its U.S. stores this week, aiming to head off any potential theft of firearms if stores are broken into amid social unrest.
Yikes. Okay, looting and election fears.
Exactly.
Right?
The retail giant, which sells firearms in about half of its 4,700 American stores, said customers can still purchase guns and ammo if they ask, even though they're no longer on display.
Need a note from your dad.
Number three. Being the only undefeated team in the NFL is as good as good can be, but it tends to make fans of other teams kind of cranky. Sports Insider just today, John, released its latest poll, and I'm sorry to tell you that our beloved Steelers are 2020's most hated NFL team.
What? Mm-hmm. What have we done? Excepting win and beat everybody around us.
Sports Insider's study poured over more than 90,000 tweets. Mm. And those tweets included the phrase, I hate the Steelers.
Really? 90,000 hate-filled tweets for the Steelers? I'm too busy making hate-filled tweets for other things. I forget about the Steelers.
Great. We're going to talk about that as the show unfolds.
Already.
Number four, we're only 3 days removed from Election Day 2020. President Trump and former VP Biden are spending every waking hour, and maybe some sleeping ones, in some corner of Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Florida, or right here in Pennsylvania, one of the swing states, which at this point is too close to call. And that, John, is your top four at four.
Very nice. Top four at four. Okay. Well, this is a weird Friday, is it not, Kath?
Why is it a weird Friday?
Well, it's a Friday before the election. And of course, we've been talking about this, like everyone else has, for years and years. So what is about to happen as we cross over the threshold from this week of, you know, relative insanity to next week to dial up the insanity? What are we walking into? It seems to be sort of Alice through the looking glass.
I don't know. Anxious.
I'm anxious.
Are you anxious?
Of course. Walmart, you know, the biggest retailer in the country. You know what? People have told us we better hide our guns. Mm-hmm. What? What does that even mean? And, you know, the National Guard. Well, just in case, you know, just we want to put that on the side. So people are thinking and acting in some odd way.
Yeah.
This is that's very strange.
You know what? You know why it is? This is, are you eager to hear my contention?
Is it the lack of fun size candy bars?
Or just too much warm beverage? No. No, I think we just make way too much out of the presidential election. I mean, it's important, but it's not like going to change life for us. It's one guy.
Well, what do you mean? It may change life for a lot of people.
It's not going to change life for most people.
No. Wait, do you not believe that President Trump has changed life for all of us?
Yeah, he has. But I think we've allowed him to have much more power over our personal lives because either we've, idolized him or we've hated him with every fiber of our being. And he's one person. I don't know. I just don't think the president of the United States is just like should have the beginning and end.
Sway
on each of our personal lives.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, I believe, in theory, a couple of things that one guy doesn't have all that power, should not have all that power, does not. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, really, what the president's doing bit by bit, whether it's, G.W. Bush or whomever, forward. In the day-to-day things, it really doesn't affect our lives.
No, really. I mean, right? Our local elected officials have a lot more sway over what our day-to-day lives look like than the president.
But in these weird times, of course, right, we've allowed that to happen.
Yes.
We've invited that into our lives. The headspace, the rental of all that.
Yep.
We've made it much, much bigger than it is. I'll buy that for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. I guess what I'm saying is if we went into next week thinking that we have a responsibility to vote and it's going to be interesting to see how it turns out, but it's not, the earth is not going to fall off its axis if one or the other one wins.
I agree. Yeah.
Jesus is still on the throne. Move on.
You know, what's going to happen is next week as you and Mike take to the polls, I believe you might catch a cold. You have to be careful out there. Mm-hmm. I think I'm fully invested now in the idea of dropping off my vote.
Oh, come on.
I am. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
I thought you were.
Think so.
Mike and I are not dropping off our vote, are we?
I am.
Absolutely not. I'm going to ask you.
Pause. I was like, don't even tell me you changed your mind.
Well, oh, no.
You better wake up nice and early.
I thought about, what should I bring? Should I bring like a hot beverage? Maybe I could steal some of Kathy's hot beverage.
That I hold in my hand. I'm happy to share it with you, Mike.
You need a warm pair of socks.
Yeah, your polling place is different than mine, I would say. I am going to have, a parka, a blanket, the sort of thing. And I don't think the line's going to be that bad.
A blanket? What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. I'll wrap a blanket around myself.
See, that seems excessive. I'm going to fill my ballot out, drive downtown, drop it off, and go home.
You're the one who won't even stand outside, and I'm trying to find a way to be happy out there, and you're telling me it's too much.
Well, my guess is, as a social person as you are, you may meet some new and wonderful friends, and I wish you all the best.
I'm bringing those hot hands. Those things that you...
Oh, yeah,
that's
sure.
A smart idea,
yes.
Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yes, putting those...
I have a couple of those. Last time I used them was at a Steeler game.
The best is when you put them in your shoes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Your feet are warm right up.
It's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, to both of you, I believe that you should invest in one of those little cane chairs.
Oh, a little. Mike, do you have a cane chair?
No, but I've seen them, and I think, you've got a cane chair.
I have one.
Well, I think you should bring it.
Okay, that's pretty
Take
smart.
It to the poll with you, the cane chair. And please, if you do, let's have a photo of that.
I sure will.
Yeah, I definitely need a photo of that. Anyway, is it too late or too early?
To tell me.
Your weekend. Has begun.
Oh, fabulous. It is 12 minutes. Thank you. 12 minutes past the 4 o'clock hour on a election eve Friday afternoon. Truly, at least in this corner of the world, as you can hear, all is right and well. Very, very nice. Let us take a break. Andy Masick. He is from the Heinz History Center. It's Pittsburgh's attic. He has got some stories to tell as we look at Halloween Eve. Stick around for that. Pittsburgh's Christian Talk, Word FM.
101.5 WORD. Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music is here on the weekend.
With the best new music.
New
music. Graves into Gardens. New music from Elevation Worship. Love Like Thunder by Richland.
Your love is like the thunder. Shake every heart.
And Never Have I Ever by Hillsong Young and Free.
Never, never have I ever.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD. On the weekend.
The following is a public notice for people suffering with fibromyalgia symptoms. Researchers from the University of Illinois College of Medicine have developed the first definitive blood test for the biomarkers of fibromyalgia. Those who test positive may qualify for an FDA-approved clinical trial of a breakthrough symptom-eliminating treatment. Previously, a fibromyalgia diagnosis could not be confirmed. Now, participants can have definitive confirmation of this debilitating disease. The test is covered by nearly all insurance plans, and FM Test can even arrange to have your blood test done by a licensed medical professional in the comfort and security of your own home. If you suffer from chronic fatigue, mental fogginess, or chronic pain, it may be fibromyalgia. This opportunity to get the first and only definitive test. If you test positive, you could be among the first to receive a breakthrough treatment formulated to eliminate all fibromyalgia symptoms. Space is limited, so go now to yourfmtest.com. That's yourfmtest.com. yourfmtest.com.
Donald Trump never speaks softly. He speaks boldly, as the voice for the voiceless, defending the unborn, the strongest pro-life president in history. He speaks forcefully, protecting the persecuted here and around the world, and for our right to freely practice our faith. He speaks unapologetically, nominating a historic number of judges who will defend our God-given constitutional rights. Joe Biden and the radical left want to continue the Obama-Biden policies that forced immoral values in our homes and schools and support abortion up until the moment of birth. They've attacked President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett for her faith. And Biden wants to rig the Supreme Court, taking away our constitutional rights. Donald Trump speaks for us, boldly leading the way. He's never let us down and never will.
I'm Donald Trump, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald Trump for President, Inc.
I consider not only my team members, but my patients, my family, and I miss them for quite a few months.
Stock Family Dentistry would like to say, welcome back.
One of the biggest blessings I have received is to be able to use my talents and my passion to serve my community through our dental office. And I'm proud to say that we're doing it in a very safe way. We're finally back up to full speed. It's nice to be back with family.
On Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Halloween tomorrow. We're excited. Nobody ever shows up at our house. And so I still buy the candy and I'm excited because then I get to eat the candy because nobody shows. However, Kath, do you like a good scare?
No.
What?
No.
Really?
No.
See, I do like a little spine chilling, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, something kind of, ooh, that's weird. You know, I don't, believe me, it's very, very rare that I would go there. But occasionally, you know, once in a blue moon, I'll dip into the, you know, the Netflix queue. And I don't want to see Freddy Krueger or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I do want to kind of be a little creeped out. I appreciate that.
All right. Good for you. You can go be creeped out in your own time.
All right, well, no, you can do it right now because Andy Masick is with us. I mean, sorry, Andy, you brought the subject up. Andy Masick, the president, the CEO of the Senator John Hines History Center. Andy, haunted Pittsburgh. Oh, I like this.
Hey, speaking of creeps, here's Andy Masick. Thanks for the intro, John.
I'm so sorry, Andy. It's
John
just kind of
Hall
flowed.
Making all the guests feel right at home.
Yeah, right. And you wonder why no one comes to your house on Halloween.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
So, you know, there are some pretty spooky things going on in Pittsburgh, and it may relate to its history from the ghost bomber in the Monongahela River, you know, the bomber that crashed in 1956 and lost two crewmen in the Mon. Four of them survived, but the bomber itself was never found. What's that about? There's the Allegheny County Jail, all the creepy goings on there, and the Bridge of Sighs. And then there's even the History Center has its own spooky tales. There was a great fire there in 1898. 18 people were killed when the walls collapsed of the old Chautauqua Lake Ice Company warehouse. So, I mean, we could talk about lots of creepy things going on in Pittsburgh.
Okay. All right, Andy. So let's go with that first selection, because that is a mystery to me, which I mean, people always talk about the Cold War or, you know, goings on about, you know, nefarious government involvement. But this story of the bomber that apparently went down into the Mons unseen, and then reports of men dying on this thing. But
yeah,
the government will never take responsibility, will they?
Well, you know, that's really added to the mystery of the ghost bomber. The fact that the U.S. Air Force won't release the report on it without redactions. And redactions is just the word that lawyers and the government use for blacking out whole blocks of narrative in the official report. And that's led people to speculate, okay, so this B-25 cruised silently over the Homestead High-Level Bridge. We call it the Homestead Grays Bridge today. It had run out of gas, and the pilot silently did a wheels-up splash landing in the Monongahela. It was about between 32 and 35 degrees in the river that day on January 31st, 1956. And the crew all survived the crash. They got out on the wings of the plane, and they called for help. People were on shore, running along, sort of pacing the plane as it floated downstream, until finally the wings dipped under the gray water, and men had to jump off the wings. Some of them caught a hold of floating debris, and two of them were found days later drowned. And then the Coast Guard came out, tried to find that plane. They actually latched onto it with an anchor they were dragging behind their towboat, and got one wingtip up. And then the anchor line parted. It slipped under the water and was never seen again. And they searched for 2 weeks trying to find it. And then,
believe, I mean, the river's so narrow at that place, Andy. You'd think that, you know, it can't be that hard to find it.
You know, you got a 15-foot plane in a 20-foot deep river. You know, what the heck happened to it? And people speculated, well, maybe they had, it came from Nellis Air Force Base. Well, that's near Area 51 in near Las Vegas, Nevada. And maybe it had aliens on board, and they were bringing it back to Washington to dissect them or something. Maybe it's during the Cold War. There were Russian spies on board. And they were going to be interrogated. Or wait, how about Las Vegas showgirls? Maybe they were bringing a whole plane load of Las Vegas showgirls back to Washington for U.S. senators to interrogate, or whatever it is senators do. And so, you know, there are all these conspiracy theories, mainly because no one will tell us what actually happened.
Wow. So, is the plane there? Did someone take it away in the middle of the night? I mean, it truly is an odd mystery.
There are lots of witnesses who say, hey, I saw them cut it up and pull it out. I saw frogmen. Really? Remember in the days when we used to call Navy SEALs and scuba divers frogmen? The frogmen came, and they winched it out of the water and cut it up and carried it through the streets. But, you know, all of those stories can be debunked as we take a closer look at them. There were plane crashes in the river, in the Mons, over the years. One of them in the 1950s, the plane was pulled out, and the fuselage was detached from the wings, and they trucked it through town. And, you know, that's well documented. But not the mysterious ghost bomber of the Monongahela. I don't know. Maybe another theory is that there were atomic weapons on board, and that's why the government was so secretive about the crash and about taking it out. Right. And then people say they saw a green man glowing in the night. You know, maybe that green man was there because of the atom bomb that was on board the ghost bomber.
Whoa. I personally like the Las Vegas showgirls theory, because there's some bombshells there.
Yeah, that's bombshells. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's different, actually.
Thanks, John.
Andy Masick with us, hearing stories from all sorts and all sides.
Yeah.
President and CEO of the Heinz History Center in association with the Smithsonian Institution. Okay, tell us another creepy story about Pittsburgh, Andy, that maybe we've never heard before.
Well, you might have gone downtown to Grant Street to the county courthouse, the old H.H. Richardson courthouse. It's, on the National Register of Historic Places with that beautiful rusticated sandstone. Yeah, it's gorgeous. And then they made a bridge across Ross Street that connected the courthouse to the jail, the Allegheny County Jail. And they call it the Bridge of Sighs. Well, there's a Bridge of Sighs in Venice, but our Bridge of Sighs, well, there might have actually been people sighing on it, because it used to be that when someone was sentenced by a judge in the courthouse, they would take one last walk over the Bridge of Sighs, which has windows in it, and they would walk to the jail where they'd never be seen again, or they'd start their sentence. And their families had to wait outside on Ross Street, looking up, hoping to catch a glimpse of their loved one as they walked over the Bridge of Sighs. Well, if you go there on certain days when the light is just right at twilight, if you look up to the center window of the Bridge of Sighs, you can see what looks like a man blowing kisses. And then what people report, now I haven't observed this myself, but you hear a baby cry, and if you look to your side out of the corner of your eyes, you see a woman holding a baby who then vanishes. So the question is, is this somehow the ghost of people who were holding their babies up for one last look at Dad as he went to the Allegheny County Jail? Now, that's sort of spooky, but there was some really spooky goings on in that jail. So you know about the 1902 Mrs. Sofol breakout with the Biddle brothers?
No, yeah. I remember that.
This is just the warden's wife.
Yeah, the warden's wife. They made a movie of this. Who was the actress? Diane Keaton. Mel Gibson's breakout movie. I think he was 20 years old when he made his first movie. And the warden's wife, Kate Sofol, falls in love with a prisoner in the jail. The Biddle brothers were two young men in their 20s who started the chloroform gang. They would, their victims were chloroformed, or they use a knockout drug called chloroform or ether, and they put a rag over the victim's nose and knock them out. Then they'd rob their place. Well, one of those victims, a grocer from Mount Washington, died in the robbery, and the two brothers were convicted, and they were on death row at the jail. Well, the warden's wife, Kate Sofol, she was about 10 years older than Ed Biddle, who was the younger, good-looking brother. And she would read Bible verses and poetry to the incarcerated Ed Biddle every day. And after a time, well, they fell in love. And Mrs. Sofol smuggled guns and saws under her skirts. Now, this is 1902. She's wearing, ankle-length skirts. She sneaks out of her residence, which is in the jail, where her four children and her husband, the warden, live. She sneaks out, gets the weapons to Ed Biddle. The brothers break out. They kill or wound three guards. In their desperate flight, they run out down Ross Street. They jump on a trolley. They steal a sleigh, a one-horse open sleigh. They head north to Butler. on the way, they stop off at a hotel, and the lovers consummate their ill-conceived liaison. And then they pack up with the quilts, the three of them, in this one-horse sleigh. They head to Butler, where there's a gun battle. The sheriffs are waiting for them. I guess they forgot about the telegraph. And there's this gun battle. The two brothers are shot down. Mrs. Sofel asks Ed, as he's dying, to shoot her. He does, but she survives the wound and is incarcerated in the Allegheny County Jail. And then later, the Western Penitentiary. She dies about 9 years later after doing vaudeville shows, recreating the Great Escape. And now people say, when it's dark and very quiet at the Allegheny County Jail, that a woman touches the guards on the back or the back of the head. They turn around, they get a glimpse of her.
We lost Andy at that pivotal moment.
Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, we lost you for a moment. There was a pivotal moment. All of a sudden, it's when the lights are dark and then there was nothing.
People
there.
Say that, well, you can.
The guards are touched by a woman on the back of the head or on their shoulders. When you turn to look at her, they catch a glimpse of her, but then she vanishes, and she says, they can hear her going, shh, quiet. Hmm. Well, this freaks out those guards, but it's Mrs. Sofel. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, I like it.
Haunted
okay, now
wait
Pittsburgh.
A minute. I got to go back. Sorry. How'd she make a vaudeville gig out of the
thing? Oh, that was really pretty common, wasn't it, Andy?
She served 2 years, and then when she got out, she lived on the north side as a seamstress. She couldn't make ends meet, so a vaudeville producer said, hey, everybody in America wants to see a recreation of the Biddle Brothers' escape and this, you know, illicit affair. And so she recreated it on stage for a couple of years until I guess the public moved on to other exciting events. And then finally, Mrs. Sofel died penniless on the north side.
That's a sad story. Holy Jeez. Smokes, Andy.
It is a thing.
Jeez. Haunted Pittsburgh, well, Andy Masick. Andy, the Heinz History Center, even in the midst of the pandemic, is open, and you still have many wonderful things that are going on, don't you?
We do, and I mean, you can come and search for ghosts there because there has been paranormal activity reported there at the History Center, and when our guards get freaked out when they see George Washington looking for his teeth, or Tana Grissom, the Seneca chief whose eyes follow you, they go to the Mr. Rogers exhibit, and a calm comes over you, and it kind of cleanses you of those evil spirits that might be found in other parts of the museum. But here's the great thing. In November, for the month of November, kids can come with their families, or kids can come by themselves for free. So
nice.
Kids are free for the month of November. Howard Hanna Real Estate has made this possible. They've underwritten it so kids can come and they can see the Mr. Rogers exhibit or see our new Smithsonian exhibit on Pittsburgh portraits, 100 portraits of Pittsburghers from the Smithsonian Institution. Or they can go to the sports museum, or they can and throw footballs, or they can go to the Discovery Place and create things. There's something for the whole family, but just know kids are free at the History Center.
What a treat. That's Andy Masick. Andy Masick, president and CEO of the Senator John Heinz History Center in association with the Smithsonian Institution. Andy, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks, and be safe out there.
Yeah, happy Halloween. All right. I mean, all in good fun, right? It's kind of weird, but it's fun. Take a quick break, come back. This or That, that's next here on The Ride Home.
Joe Biden.
Faith is what has gotten me through difficult times in my life. I lost my wife and daughter. When my son had stage 4 glioblastoma, it was a matter of months. Personally for me, faith, it's all about hope and purpose and strength. And for me, my religion is just an enormous sense of solace. I go to Mass and I say the rosary. I find it to be incredibly comforting. Kierkegaard said, faith sees best in the dark. Think of all the people you know who are going through horrible things, and they get up every morning and they put one foot in front of the other. I marvel at people to absorb hurt and just get back up. And I'm absolutely, thoroughly convinced and optimistic about the prospects of this country. There is nothing we can't do.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Welcome back to Customize and Save with Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, the game show where you only pay for what you need. And we're out of time. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
John, I talked to my daughter today, who's a student at Grove City, and we were talking about her grades. You know, it's a little more than halfway through. Her midterms were last week. And I said, so, you know, how's it going? And she said, Mom, I had the greatest meeting with my guidance counselor. And I said, guidance counselor? She's not really a guidance counselor. It's like your advisor when you get to college, right?
Yeah, right?
I said, what was so great about it? And she said, well, what I couldn't believe is like he was up to date on what I was doing. Like he knew how I was doing in each one of my classes. He knew the professors I had. He knew some of the things I'd talked to him about before. She said, All of a sudden I felt like I didn't have to go in and like tell him how things were going. He already knew how things were going. And so it was an opportunity for us to kind of get to know each other better. And I thought to myself, John, that's what I missed in my college experience. And that's what I'm so glad my kids are getting, is that type of individualized attention that just is an adult reaching out to a student and saying, hey, I know where you are. Let's talk about it.
That's powerful. So Grove City College, big enough to know it's a university and there's great intellectual stew there, but small enough that you're known by the people who are supposed to look out for you and shepherd you. Listen, both Kath and I, our kids go there. We love it. Look online for next year at Grove City College, gcc.edu. That is Grove City College.
Listen on your smart speaker, the Word FM app at wordfm.com, iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. In the car or at home, too, at 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh.
Tonight, partly cloudy with a low 31. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 48. Mainly clear tomorrow night with a low of 39. Sunday, mostly cloudy, windy with a shower and a high of 51. And Monday, breezy in the morning. Otherwise, a blend of sun and clouds with a high 43. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
It's time for This or That, a weekly delve into one thing or another, just clearly this or that. Kath?
John, number one, spring ahead or fall back?
Spring ahead.
Really?
Oh, yes.
The Baltimore Ravens or the Cincinnati Bengals?
The Ravens.
Apple pie or apple crisp?
Apple pie.
Chicken noodle soup or chili?
Chicken noodle soup.
Really? This is so surprising already. Fireplace or fire pit?
Fireplace.
Pumpkin pie or pumpkin roll?
Pumpkin pie.
Bobbing for apples, John, or Bob Ross?
Bob Ross.
Okay. That got me to thinking. Yeah. Bob Ross or Bob Marley?
Bob Ross.
Really? Bob Ross or Bob Barker?
Bob Barker.
What? Bob Barker or Bob Newhart?
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart or Bob Dole?
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart or Bob Euchre?
Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart or Bob Fosse?
Oh. Bob Fosse.
Oh. Bob Fosse or Bob Geldof?
Oh. Bob Fosse.
Bob Fosse or Bob Vila?
Oh. Gee, that's rough.
I know.
I'm going Bob Vila.
Oh! And last but not least, Bob Vila or Bob Eubanks?
Just for old time's sake, I'm going Bob Eubanks.
Right. Let's do this or that.
Oh, that was well done. No, that was very, very well done. Excellent. All right, Kath, the 10-30-20 edition of this or that for you. Dancing like no one's watching or taking a nap?
Oh, I'll take a nap.
Riding a horse, riding an ATV.
Oh, I'll take a horse. And that's hard enough.
Porridge, mush.
Are they different?
Yeah.
All right, I'll go with porridge.
Oh, porridge. Okay, very nice.
Why not?
Modern worship songs, hymns.
Well, how about you can't do that?
I just asked this
you
or that.
You can't do
Kath.
That.
Modern worship songs or hymns.
How do you?
This
okay,
or that. Kath.
Okay, hymns, whatever.
Tablecloth, placemats.
Tablecloth.
The harpsichord, the harp.
I'll go harpsichord. I think the harp's a little odd, but go on.
Having your lip pierced. Having your nose pierced.
I'll go nose over lip. Lip is wrong.
The nose with that bone thing sticking out there?
No,
that,
you just said nose. Down. It could be
no.
The little one on the side.
I mean the thing that's hanging out.
No, you can't say that.
Yeah.
You altered it. You can't.
No. It's a nose piercing.
No,
thing hanging out of your nose.
Neither. I can't. All right, lip for crying out loud.
All right. Comfy blanket. Comfy pillow.
Blanket.
Deep fried Oreo. Corn dog.
They're both so gross. Why are either one of them necessary? Corn dog.
Chuck Noll. Mike Tomlin.
Oh! I can't.
This or that.
Mike Tomlin!
There you go. All right. The 10-30-20 edition of this or that.
WORD.
Turning Point with David Jeremiah.
Every time we have the Lord's Supper, every time we have baptism, we tell the story of redemption. The Lord is wise. He institutes memorials. Why does he do that? Because we're forgetful.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for a special message to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Next time on Turning Point.
This evening at 7:30 on 101.5 WORD.
This election, the lives of millions of unborn children are at stake. Joe Biden has promised to appoint liberal judges that will allow abortions to continue and increase. The Democrats have embraced radical pro-abortion policies that would let doctors perform abortions late into the third trimester, sometimes even after birth. That's right. Some Democrats have suggested that doctors should be allowed to perform abortions after a child is born. President Trump will fight to protect the unborn. He's appointing strong, conservative, pro-life judges. And President Trump boldly reinstated the Mexico City policy, making sure our tax dollars don't go toward funding for abortions abroad. Millions of unborn children's lives are at stake. We must protect them. Vote in person, November 3rd, for Donald Trump.
I'm Donald Trump, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
Pumpkins, 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 and more pumpkins. Pumpkins are what the Springhouse is thinking about this time of year. Hi, it's me, Marcia, from the Springhouse, and we love sharing our farm with you during this beautiful time of year. We've got all kinds of fun planned for you and your family to be able to spend the whole day on our farm. Pumpkin patch hay rides, a petting zoo, giant square bale stack and pipes for sliding, a hay maze and a corn maze, pumpkin picking right out of the field, old time games under a tent up on the hill, and lots more. And when you get hungry, of course we have great eats inside too, with lots of pumpkin creations. Pumpkin pie, pumpkin cookies, pumpkin bread, pumpkin custard, and even pumpkin black bean chili. Every October Saturday features a family-friendly meal, and October Sundays feature our 4-H hog roast with all the fixins. Plan to spend a memory-making day on the farm at the Springhouse in 84 PA. 724-228-3339 or springhousemarket.com.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart.
We are compelled, more often than not, to engage in community, whether we like it or not. The church is real big on community. And of course, you know, during the pandemic, all of us are missing community if you're not attending church on a regular basis. Potluck has gone the way. So, you know, what do we do with community? Or is community really necessary for us? Well, Pastor Eugene Park is back with us. Pastor Park is associate pastor of True North Church in Palo Alto, California, host a podcast called True North Daily. Eugene, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Hey, thanks for that intro. You give great intros, John, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
That's why we love him so deeply.
Yeah, after that, though, John, I just got to boom, I fall off the cliff. I got nothing.
No, you guys are great.
Okay, now, Eugene, you seem like such a nice guy. You know, we're just getting to know you. You seem friendly. You like football. You can talk about all sorts of things. But you get mad when people say they're looking for community. What's wrong with you?
I see what you did there. Thank you for the nice words. I'd love for you to talk to my wife after the call about that too.
Okay.
I wrote this piece on the Gospel Coalition a while back. This is before COVID, which seems like a decade ago. But
it does.
You know, I realize as a pastor, I always meet with newcomers at our church, and I always ask them, what brings you here? And the most common phrase I always hear is, I'm looking for a community. Hmm. For a while, I was like, yeah, that's the standard answer. But the more I thought about it, I started to kind of cringe at that, because what I realized what they were saying really is, I'm hoping to stumble upon a community that's perfect for me. Mm-hmm. You know, like so many of us watched the show Friends growing mm-hmm. up. And I remember watching that as a kid thinking, if I just had friends like these, I'd be happy. And we'd always try to seek that in our friendships that we already had. So I realized in the church, especially in the American church, I do think people think we can find community, but I think, and I think biblically too, community is never found, it's always built. Blood, sweat, tears, whatever it may be, but that it's a project, not a hidden treasure to be found, in the sand.
Hmm. Okay, so that's interesting. So you said, especially in the American community. So there is something about us as Americans that we are, we are rootless people, right?
Yeah.
And we are, we tend to be an army of one, for lack of a better phrase.
And does that mean we're shoppers?
Yeah, I do mention that. And I don't want to be too critical of people, because I do get that a lot. But I do see a tendency that we have a very consumer mindset. So I perfect example, I'm eating Chipotle. And I often think that type of consumer mindset, that you can build your own burrito at Chipotle.
Yeah.
You can ask, I'm very picky. I hate vegetables. I love guacamole and I love chicken. So what do I do when I go there? I tell them exactly what I want to my preference. Back before, usually when you get to restaurants, you kind of let the chef decide what you eat, right? But nowadays, what we've done is we've allowed that type of Chipotle mentality to not just bleed into what we eat, but our whole lives in America, that our community, our politics, everything is kind of on your preference, if that makes sense.
Right. Okay. So then we've made community in many ways into our political parties, right? We tend to identify that, right? I'm Democrat or Republican, as opposed to I belong to these circles of people.
Yeah, I know we talked about that last time I was on here too, that I do think because of this idea that we're looking and trying to build our own communities, well, you only build it with the people that look like you, think like you, and mm-hmm. like the things that you do. And that bleeds into our churches, which when I read Paul's epistles, I'm like, the reason why he's so harsh with his church is because he knew the church would be filled with Jew and Gentile, Greek and non-Greek, and that it should be politically also diverse. There should be tension with your interests, as we just talked about, Steeler fans and Niner fans, whatever it may be, that those type of relationships should be found in the church community.
All right, so let's go back to Central Perk, right? The coffee shop and Friends.
Sure.
That's the place where, I mean, all of us who grew up in that era wanted to have that place and those people, yeah. right? But that is kind of indicative as well, because you can stop in whenever you want, right? You don't have to sure. make a reservation. Yep. There aren't enough people in there where someone's going to be sitting on the sofa that you want to sit on, because you guys yep. always sit on it, right? You can get whatever you want while you're there, and then you can take off whenever you have something better to do.
Yeah, I think you put it perfectly. And the church is not designed to be that. That is not to be a cafe. You know, when you go to a cafe, is it full? Is it something you like? If it's not, you can leave, right? And I think we treat that in the church too. I think David Brooks, a columnist in the New York Times, put it as we're in the golden age of bailing. That it's easier to bail than to stay somewhere. And I think in the church, I see this, that at the first opportunity of a broken heart, you know, a breakup, dating relationship, I usually see with a lot of my younger church yeah. members, maybe a fight with the pastor about an issue, maybe a disagreement with another family about kids, whatever it may be, your first instinct is, I need to leave this community. But community only works as God designed it when you're allowing that to be constraining you in places that are uncomfortable to grow you and to build you.
Okay, so if I'm looking for community, it means I'm willing to, as you say, invest something or build something, give a portion of myself away, right? A lot of people just are, like you're saying, Eugene, unwilling or unable to do that.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we need to be able to grow in, this idea that community is actually a place where you need to be uncomfortable. And if you're not uncomfortable, you're probably not in the right place.
Yeah.
You're probably in a scary place, if that makes sense. And yeah. I do think to build anything, you know, that's worthy of being built physically, that requires tension, sacrifice, blood, sweat, and tears. I think the same to be true in the church. I think Bonhoeffer has a really good quote. Those who love their dream of a Christian community more than they love the Christian community itself become destroyers of that community, which I think rings true now more than ever in 2020.
I couldn't agree with you more. We're talking to Eugene Park, associate pastor of True North Church in Palo Alto, California, host of the daily podcast called True North Daily. Yeah, I think you're right about that, that we oftentimes have dreamers, right? Who look at the ideal of whatever it is. And, you know, the perfect can be the enemy of the whatever, right?
Exactly.
The standard or the best we can or whatever. And so if you're always thinking that I need that thing, then what you have is going to be a perpetual disappointment.
Yeah, you put it really well, better than my article even, that I think I do that a lot. I dream about things that I want more than living in the reality of what God has placed me in. And if God is sovereign and he is king, then that community, that friendship, that church you're in, no matter how comfortable, well, maybe there's a reason to be there. To put it best, maybe the last quote I can give really quickly is an author named Arthur Brooks just came out with a piece in The Atlantic, and he said, America tells you to love things and use people. The reverse should be true, or that you should love people and use things. And I think that's so true in our community mindset as well.
That's Pastor, a good quote. Eugene, two Brookses.
I'm one of those guys, right? Sorry, I'm one of those guys at the end of the service, and I walk up to you and, hey, Pastor, I'm new here. I'm looking for community. Well, what do you say? What's your response?
I would tell them in my most pastoral way, stop looking. I would say you need to start building. That's one thing I'm trying to make key of my church, that when people come, we want to welcome you. It's not like we're trying to turn anyone away, but if you're coming into our community, we want to welcome you as much as possible. But all of us from top down, pastors to the member to newcomer, let's build this church rather than look for a church. Let's build with the people that God has given us so that we can bring glory to his name with people that look, think, and like different things than us.
Amen and amen. He is preaching it today. That's Eugene Park, Associate Pastor, True North Church in Palo Alto. Palo Alto, California. Check out the podcast called True North Daily. Eugene, always a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, John. Thanks, Kathy. That was a great time with you guys.
Always a pleasure. Let's take a quick break. Come back. Remember the days of classic toys, Operation Parcheesi pickup sticks? Talk about that next.
If you owe back taxes, there's a lot you need to know, starting with rule number one. Don't mess with the IRS. They are cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, levying bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. That's all true, but it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for tax relief that saves you thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like the award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will fight to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433. 800-965-1433.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
There are many issues in this election, but without life, nothing else matters. Sadly, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want to take over America and deny the most basic right to life to unborn babies. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris want abortion until birth, and they want you to pay for it with your tax dollars. Joe Biden should never be president, and Kamala Harris should never be vice president. Donald Trump and Mike Pence fight to protect unborn babies. Donald Trump and Mike Pence support laws to keep your tax dollars from paying for abortion. And Donald Trump and Mike Pence support laws to protect unborn babies from painful late dismemberment abortions. Unborn babies can't vote, but you can. Be a voice for the voiceless in this election. Vote for life. Vote for Donald Trump and Mike Pence for president and vice president.
Paid for by the National Right to Life Victory Fund at nrlvictoryfund.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. NRL Victory Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Are you asking yourself, why did I buy that timeshare? I'll tell you why. Because that presentation wasn't a normal sales pitch. It was a show to convince you that timeshare is a great investment. They told you it was available today and today only. They said you're foolish if you don't buy. And unfortunately, you believed them. But now you know none of that was true. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group, and I know the tough spots you're in. We get over 3,000 complaints a week from folks just like you that were misled into buying a timeshare. In the past 10 years, I've helped over 13,000 families get rid of their timeshare permanently with a 98% success rate. If I tell you we can help, we can. That's why I guarantee if we take you as a client, we will cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call now for your free information kit. 800-660-1771. That's 800-660-1771. 800-660-1771.
We're staying at home and we are playing with classic toys. Toy sales have climbed 18% so far this year, according to market research. Much of the toy industry's growth was fueled by board games, puzzles, outdoor toys like bicycles, scooters, inflatable pools. Among the season's most popular toys are Little Tykes Barbies, Hot Wheels, Lego. The world's largest and profitable toy maker also has carved out the niche in the coveted adult world with adult Legos. But people are going back to the things that we grew up with, Kat, like, you know, the Operation game, even pickup sticks.
Mm.
Are you playing any classic games in your house?
I feel badly about saying no, but I have to be honest. Mm-hmm. We have not played any classic
games. Any games?
No, we're just... I want to be like the good game-playing family because I enjoy a game, but we never do it.
Well, don't think badly of yourself.
No, I am thinking badly, but thank you for trying to rescue me.
Quickly, I mean, after dinner, because there's just three of us here. I come from a card playing family. My grandmother and my mother, they played cards like all day, every day with whoever walked in the front door. So my sisters all play cards, but I have no penchant for card games. And I'm sorry that I missed that. The most that we can do, like maybe once or twice a week, is, and this is pathetic of me, we'll sit around and play Uno.
Oh yeah, that is like the no brain card game.
Right. But there is a positive aspect because it does give us a chance to sit down and just kind of goof around and mess with each other.
That's true. That's good.
Which is all really to me about games. That's all I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I just need some connection.
I love to play cards. I like to play Yahtzee.
I like Yahtzee.
That's the last one I played. That was a couple months ago.
My wife is like, you know, in love with that card game, which to me is torture.
Listen, Dutch Blitz. Yeah, I've played that with your wife.
Oh,
like one time too many because she always completely ruins me.
Right. Her birthday is coming up. She would like to spend the day playing Dutch Blitz. Me, I sit there and I shuffle cards. I just shuffle. Right. I'm just like lost.
That raises my blood pressure. Oh, I can't think that fast.
Oh, yeah, me too. And I feel bad. So then you end up feeling bad about yourself.
Of course, which is what I want for like some kind of like Thursday evening respite.
Exactly. I mean, it's very complex, isn't it? I don't mind Monopoly, but Monopoly can oftentimes get a little tense in our house.
It's so long.
I don't mind Monopoly. No, you know, you can take a little break. Here's what we'll do. We'll have the envelopes. We'll go, okay, we're going to stop now. Put my money and all my stuff, my properties. We'll come back to that at a later date. Mm-hmm. And then we'll carry the grudge over.
That's what Donald Trump said before he ran for president.
Ask Alexa to play the word Pittsburgh to hear us there. We're on your Google speaker too, plus iHeart, TuneIn, and on radio.com. 101.5 WORDFM, Pittsburgh.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The presidential candidates are busy on this Friday, 4 days before the election. President Trump and Joe Biden are both blitzing the upper Midwest. The president is making stops in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Biden will be visiting Iowa, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. Full House actress Lori Loughlin reporting to a California prison to begin serving a 2-month term in the college bribery case. A strong earthquake in the Aegean Sea between the Turkish coast and the Greek island of Samos collapsed buildings in western Turkey, killing 14 people, injuring over 400. Earthquake officials say a small tsunami struck south of Izmir. And daylight saving time ends this weekend. Set your clocks back 1 hour early Sunday. Sharp drops on Wall Street. The Dow fell 157 points. The NASDAQ was off 274. This is SRN News.
Donald Trump never speaks softly. He speaks boldly as the voice for the voiceless, defending the unborn, the strongest pro-life president in history. He speaks forcefully, protecting the persecuted here and around the world. And for our right to freely practice our faith, he speaks unapologetically, nominating a historic number of judges who will defend our God-given constitutional rights. Joe Biden and the radical left want to continue the Obama-Biden policies that forced immoral values in our homes and schools and support abortion up until the moment of birth. They've attacked President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett for her faith, and Biden wants to rig the Supreme Court, taking away our constitutional rights. Donald Trump speaks for us, boldly leading the way. He's never let us down and never will.
I'm Donald Trump, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald Trump for President, Inc.
First Presbyterian Church is a beacon of light and love to this community.
The message that I hear sustains me for the whole week.
I love this church because of the diversity and the music and the people.
The incredible beauty of the space.
A warm, welcoming congregation.
The people are amazing and truly love one another and Christ, and our pastor preaches the gospel.
I want everybody in Pittsburgh to come and experience.
First Presbyterian Church of Pittsburgh, in the heart of the city, with the city in its heart. Are you in high school and thinking about your future, or know someone who is? Consider Geneva College. Geneva is a Christian college that prepares students for meaningful service in the world. Geneva has over 145 majors and programs, 19 varsity sports, 100 study abroad programs, and lots of club activities. Geneva has scholarships and grants to make it affordable, too. Find out more yourself. You can visit Geneva in person or or online. To find out more, go to geneva.edu/visit. That's geneva.edu/visit.
Now more than ever before, a radical agenda by the far left is destroying the bedrock of this great nation. We must protect conservative ideals with our votes and in our homes. Watch America's Town Hall 2020, available for free on salemnow.com. Dennis Prager, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, Charlie Kirk, and Larry Elder discuss how we reclaim our country from a democracy that's under attack. America's Town Hall 2020. Visit salemnow.com to watch.
Hey, this is Owen Strand with a quick word on the upcoming election. So much of what we care about is at stake. Religious liberty, all of our First Amendment freedoms, the cause of life and reliable judges, rule of law, even civil order. Make sure you're registered and prepared to vote, whether at the polling place or by absentee ballot. Our nation is at a crossroads, and every vote counts. Don't sit this election out.
Tonight, partly cloudy with a low 31. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 48. Mainly clear tomorrow night with a low of 39. Sunday, mostly cloudy, windy with a shower and a high of 51. And Monday, breezy in the morning. Otherwise, a blend of sun and clouds with a high 43. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
Hey, good afternoon to you. Thanks for coming along for this Friday. A little sun out there right now. The rain is kind of kicked away. Everybody's getting ready for, the community day of gathering of little Halloween. Kath, you looking forward to it?
I am.
You did not do your autumnal display this year.
I did.
Oh, you.
But I didn't listen. I forgot to take a picture of it. Hmm. I did all flowers. I did not do my normal hay bale.
Oh, okay. All right.
You know why?
Well, the hay bale's pretty messy, isn't
it? It's a real mess.
I think it is.
It's a real mess.
I love you, but I'm not a fan of the hay bale.
I understand.
I think the flowers are a much better way to go.
Yeah.
More in line with who you are, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I'll take a picture of what I have going on in the front, but there's no hay bale.
All right. Very good. All right. Listen, so we are still broadcasting live from our spare rooms. Mm-hmm. You know, when this all first happened, we thought, hey, I'm not going to commute. So I'm going to save some extra time. Well, I guess the question was, with all that extra time from your commute, what are you going to do? Well, apparently we're going to work. Because from mid-March to mid-September, Americans spent 60 million fewer hours commuting to and from work, according to one estimate. However, they spent more than 80 million hours working more.
See, that's why we're so screwed up as people. That's exactly what you and I both did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we saved time commuting and, you know, we weren't, you know, yapping with everybody at the studio. So we'll, you know, start this new thing and we'll do that new thing and yeah, there was no hanging around.
No, I don't know. I appreciate the lack of the commute, but I do. I think, like most people, if you're stuck at home, you're generally, I believe, eating, sleeping, and breathing
work.
The office at work.
That's the problem. See, that's the, I think, of all the adjustments that I had to make. I mean, other than figuring out how to set up this crazy thing in my spare room, was just how to not work, because it just seems like it's always there.
Right. And, I think in the times when I'm not working, I'm thinking about working.
Yes. Yeah. Because work is just right upstairs. It's kind of like,
it's in your pocket.
Right. When I was leaving,
it's your phone.
When I was leaving work prior to COVID, you get in the car, you have this bumper, time span, whether it's, 10 minutes or 20 or 40, right, or whatever your commute is. And then you get home and then you're not working.
However, having said that, I do not want to appear ungrateful.
Not at all.
I'm not. And I appreciate, one, having a job, two, being able to work from home with my job. And three, I want to make sure that everybody who's out there in the service industry or whatnot, who's helping taking care of me and myself here at home, God bless you all. And I want to make sure that people hear that and know that, because man, if we didn't have that, we'd really be in big trouble. Right.
Yeah. And plus, I was just talking to my daughter about this. We stopped up. Both my daughters are in college, and we stopped up. My husband and I did to see them over the weekend. And we were talking about working hard and just, you know, I have a daughter who's student teaching right now, and she's having a hard time getting used to all the demands that COVID-19 has put on teachers, which, you know, my husband's a teacher. He's been doing it for decades and he's having a hard time figuring out how to do it. But I said, I hope I didn't set you guys a bad example of working when you were growing up, because I just tend to be a person who just works a lot of the time. And I was concerned about that. I thought, I hope now that I'm looking at my kids who are making their own decisions, they're both working really, really, really hard. And I thought, did I mess that up?
No, I wouldn't worry about that. Believe me, of all the things that you have to worry about messing your kids up, putting a good work ethic in them is the least of your concerns.
Yeah, I know. But then you see an article like the Wall Street Journal one that you're citing, and you think maybe, you know, Americans are a little sick that way, is that when we've got an extra couple hours, we're just going to find a way to work in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's overblown. Don't beat yourself up. It's okay. It really it is.
Okay.
Anyway.
Boy, great. I'm so glad I came to this therapy session.
Doctor's in. Lucy Van Pelt is happy to be here with you. Kath, what time is it, please?
It is time for me to tell you, John.
Tell me what?
Your weekend has begun.
Oh, yes. It's 9 minutes past the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday afternoon. Truly, in this corner, as the sun shines on a fall afternoon, all is right and well. So thank you for being along with us here today on the ride home. We'll take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a kingdom view of elections for the student population. That's next. Paul McNulty from Grove City College. Well, I mean, here it is. Halloween's tomorrow, right? The fall, we're clearly embedded in the fall. The leaves have fallen and, you know, before you know it, we're going to have the snow. But don't let this weekend go by. If you're yearning to take a drive and have something good to eat, I would highly suggest you stop on by the Springhouse and check out Marsha. Hey, Marsh, this is the final weekend of the Great Pumpkin Festival, is it not?
It is. And so last day of Hay Rides is tomorrow. We'll be starting at 11 o'clock. People can get tickets online, or we'll have a few extras to sell in-house. So we'll be doing hay rides tomorrow. We'll finish up a little early in case folks are going Halloweening. And then on Sunday, we'll do our last hog roast of the fall. And we'll cook up on the open pit 3 or 4 hog quarters. And we'll have stuffing and hand-peeled mashed potatoes and pork gravy and baked beans and all kinds of yummy fall veggies and desserts. And it'll be a good eating weekend and just a nice, peaceful weekend to come on out to the farm.
Wow. All right, Marsha, that sounds so good. And I know that a lot of times in past falls, I've thought, I don't think I soaked up enough of autumn yet. Well, if there are people out there who think the same thing, this is your weekend to get yourself to the Springhouse. All the information, find it about the Springhouse, wordfm.com. Bye, Marsh.
Bye, guys.
101.5 WORD.
God gave the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel, but are they a thing of the past? Do they really have any value for us today? Well, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, answers these questions this week as we set off for a journey through Zechariah's vision of the flying scroll. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus.
Through the Bible, this evening at 9 p.m. on 101.5 WORD.
Joe Biden.
Faith is what has gotten me through difficult times in my life. I lost my wife and daughter when my son had stage 4 glioblastoma. It was a matter of months. Personally for me, faith, it's all about hope and purpose and strength. And for me, my religion is just an enormous sense of solace. I go to Mass and I say the rosary. I find it to be incredibly comforting. Kierkegaard said, faith sees best in the dark. Think of all the people you know who are going through horrible things and they get up every morning and they put one foot in front of the other. I marvel at people to absorb hurt and just get back up. And I'm absolutely thoroughly convinced and optimistic about the prospects of this country. There is nothing you can't do.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Hey, are you guys open?
Yeah, yeah, we are. Come on in.
As businesses reopen across the nation, is your business prepared for what comes next? Salem Surround can help. COVID-19 brought America's thriving economy to a screeching halt. But now, local businesses are getting back to normal. Are you ready for the return to business and all that pent-up consumer demand? Contact Salem Surround.
Learn more by logging on to surroundpittsburgh.com. Surroundpittsburgh.com. Connecting you with new customers.
In case you haven't heard, there is an election due this Tuesday afternoon.
What?
An election coming up. Please do not be shocked and amazed. Seriously, over the last, I don't know how many months, maybe years, Kath and I have talked about this election from all sorts of various angles. I mean, every which way you can think of, theological, pastoral, prayerful, all those and more. However, with our next guest, we have not talked about this election with students on campus and a kingdom view of election. Paul McNulty is back with us in his regular monthly slot. Paul McNulty is president of Grove City College. Prior to returning to Grove City College, his alma mater, Paul McNulty spent 30 years in Washington, D.C. as an attorney in public service and private practice. In 2005, the United States Senate unanimously confirmed Paul McNulty to the position of Deputy Attorney General, the second in command at the United States Department of Justice, and the chief operating officer of the department's 100,000 employees. Paul McNulty, sir, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, John. It's great to be back with you and Kathy.
So, Paul, from the perspective of not just college students, but someone like you who's interested in educating college students, tell us what the pre-election cycle's been like.
Well, it's an interesting question, Kathy, because it's such a different sort of semester that in some ways the election has been, I think, lost a bit in the midst of COVID-19 and, you know, how that affects a college campus. And as both of you know, because of your own children, we've been able to proceed forward and have face-to-face classes and try to have some semblance of normal college life. But it's still very different. And for some reason, I think it's sort of taken the spotlight a bit off of what is obviously the big story of the moment. And I'm sure our students are paying close attention, but it is a little different because of this.
Yes. So in some ways, I would maybe say, Paul, maybe your opinion is different, that it might not be such a bad thing because, you know, the rest of society is laser focused on this as though this was a be all and end all of our humanity and eternal perspective. But talk to us about this. You came today to speak to us about the kingdom view of elections. And that's a wonderful way, a title to lay this out. When you say a kingdom view, what do you mean?
Well, you know, it's just a great privilege and opportunity in a college campus to think about these things together. It's a unique moment in life to look at issues of this magnitude. And so we wouldn't want it to pass without some opportunity. And I think our students are also a bit confused because, frankly, they see things in the president that they have concerns about. But at the same time, they are also supportive of a lot of different policies of the administration. And so it has them, I think, wondering. But when we talk about kingdom view, what we mean is there a Christian way of looking at elections and election results? And what I'm going to try to argue to our students next Tuesday in our chapel is that we talk about elections being consequential, and they really are. For me, I actually had, I think, about four elections that decided whether or not I'd have a job another month or two after the
change. Okay, that's a pivotal
change.
Election for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Consequential, right, when you have a family and so forth. So I know what that means. But when we talk about consequential, sometimes we just put such high stakes on the outcome that we forget what Scripture tells us about God's control over all of the affairs, and especially his relationship to government. And Paul says in Romans 13, verse 1, that there's no government authority that is established outside of God's control, that he establishes it all, and it is its instrument in doing his will. And so whether that's a Democratic administration or a Republican one or a good president or a bad president, all of it's under his control. And so consequences are significant, but at the same time, ultimately, we put our hope in God, whose plans are perfect. And therefore, we can look at things with a much more constructive mindset than sort of the polarizing, you know, high stakes battle that just seems to never go away.
That's so good to hear. That sure reduces the anxiety if you think about things that way.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the ways we hope that they'll respond. We also hope that our students will see that there are purposes that are God's plans, and that we have to have a certain humility in all of this. And, you know, it's interesting. I was just thinking about this today, that here we are, 2020, in 2008, when Barack Obama was elected president, we had probably the most liberal new president we've ever had, and some people were very alarmed. As a result of 8 years of his administration, there was a lot of reaction to that, and Donald Trump got elected, and who would have ever thought that? But today we're sitting here, and now we have three new justices to the Supreme Court who are people who I think will have a lot of sympathies, for example, to religious freedom as a First Amendment right. Now, that's just a small example of how maybe a plan of God that we would never have thought about in 2008, but here we see today how things have unfolded in just that one way. And it just is a reminder of waiting to see how God reveals his will in our lives.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. It's Paul McNulty with us, ninth president of Grove City College. Paul, as you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, you said that some elections are more consequential than others, and that you had, what, did you say four elections where you were, depending on who
right.
won, you were going
that's
to
right.
have a job or not?
That's right, exactly.
Okay, so that brings me to my question, which is that I feel like in America, the presidential election has become too important. And by that, I mean, I feel like the average Joe seems to treat the election with the same degree of like terror that you did when your job was riding on it, right? And I'm not sure how we've gotten to the point where, I mean, the presidential election is important, but the president himself is probably not going to have a whole lot to do with the average person. Our local officials actually are going to have a lot more to say about our daily life.
Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And, you know, think about the pandemic, which is the top of the list issues. And we as Pennsylvanians are probably way more affected by Harrisburg than we are by Washington, D.C. And in fact, a lot of the rhetoric around the pandemic has been a little hard to even think and sort out because we know, well, that was a state mandate that we were dealing with, or that's a county issue. And so, yeah, you're right. Government at all levels impacts our lives, and we sometimes get caught up in sort of the pundits' narratives, which are very emotional and seem to really shake at the sort of foundations of our lives in a way that distort, I think, the way that the day-to-day life unfolds.
Yes. Paul McNulty is with us from Grove City College. Paul, and so the idea of that God's in control of all things, over all his dominion, I mean, in some ways, it shouldn't be an excuse to be theologically lazy about how you engage, whether it's the election or your career or how you treat your husband or wife or your children, right? If God's in control, then we, as God's creation, must do our highest to follow along and to love and honor and worship God, to be part of that creation.
Absolutely. And what I hope to talk about next week is the duties we have as citizens, and elections do have consequences. So it's not as though this encourages us to a kind of fatalism or, giving up on what matters. No, we've been privileged to be in a form of government that allows us to actually participate. When Paul wrote his words to the Romans, he didn't write about the form of government that we are blessed with today. He was talking about, a dictatorship. He was talking about an authority that controlled lives in a way that we're not experiencing. Mm-hmm. And yet he still said that there is a requirement to not resist the government authorities. And he's also, I think, putting in perspective the two kingdoms. You know, he's basically saying this kingdom serves a purpose for God, to keep things in order, to preserve our lives. And that's important. But there's a higher kingdom that we're about. And that's what really matters in terms of, you know, what orders our lives and what, mm-hmm. what you know, what drives us forward, what gives us hope, what gives us peace. And so we forget that by affirming this one kingdom. It's really an affirmation of the eternal kingdom.
Paul McNulty's with us, ninth president of Grove City College. Paul, you know, I was up at Grove City for chapel, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so. And yeah. I was really, really impressed with the quality of conversations that I had with students after chapel. Now, I mean, a lot of students had to run off to class, but the people who stayed around, I thought to myself, you know, we tend to minimize students when we're not on a campus. And, you know, oh, college students, you know, they're a bunch, all they do is complain about stuff. And all they do is say, you know, I can't stand to listen to somebody else's opinion, blah, blah, blah. That's not the case across the board. And I'm sure that's not the case in any, you know, at any number of universities across the nation. But Grove City in particular has a student body that I think is, I don't know, they seem ready and willing to be challenged. You must feel lucky to be there.
Oh my goodness, yes. And they do really appreciate what they're getting, especially this year, you know, to be back together again. I just hear that virtually every day from students. But I couldn't agree with you more, Kathy. I feel so privileged to be in a community where students really understand that they're there to be prepared for calling in life. And we have this sense of fulfillment as professionals that that's really happening and that they're mm-hmm. really taking advantage of the opportunity. And we see them go out in the world and be tremendously responsible and making investments in their community and being very engaged. And it's about as fulfilling as any work can be. And so mm-hmm. you're right. It's something it's by the way, it's even helped us in this pandemic because our students just aren't busy sort of running around and you know, kind of ignoring the risks. They're sort of taking this seriously enough. It's hard when you're that young to fully grasp it all, but taking it seriously enough to actually really bless our campus. We've been relatively safe as a result of the priorities that they keep. And that's
been a big blessing. Speak about that. I mean, that's really interesting. Of course, you know, as full disclosure, and our audience knows this, that Kath and I both have children at Grove City College. But I mean, look, I mean, whether it's Major League Baseball or the NFL, I mean, people have been living in bubbles. But, you know, college kids are a whole other story. They seem to be impervious to the slings and arrows of the sickness and age and the maladies that we think about. Right. So what is it? I mean, how does that work with Grove City? You've done pretty darn good.
Well, you know, we knew from the beginning that it wasn't kind of a black and white thing, and we couldn't practically even sort of keep everybody on campus. And so what I've been trying to encourage is to think responsibly, to think about things with a heightened conscientiousness. And if you're leaving campus, you know, think about what that might mean for the campus. And as a result, I think the students are just taking that responsibility seriously. It's not perfect. But, yeah. you know, less than 30 cases, and we've tested over 650 people at this point, less than 30 cases, 2.5 months into this. I mean, that's God's goodness to us, mm-hmm. to be sure.
It surely is.
But you know, that's, I think, a reflection of how he's worked in the hearts of the students to help them take this on in a more responsible way. And so they're avoiding some of the things that really do cause spread in a lot of the university environments that are, you know, more destructive, frankly, in terms of the consequences of it all.
Paul, before you leave us, just give us a little, I don't know, bird's eye view into the concerns that you have faced since, you know, August, bringing people back. I mean, we've heard story after story in the mainstream news, universities all across the nation. Some have had to close, some have had to go to all virtual learning. Just talk about, I'm sure that's a weight that you bear, like on an hour by hour basis.
Yeah, there's a lot of different aspects to the weight. You know, you're thinking about your employees, who some of whom are more vulnerable than others, or family members that are vulnerable. And we don't want one person to become seriously ill or worse. And so that's ultimately the way you feel. And then the lack of real clarity as to what is the most, you know, what are the riskiest behaviors?
Right,
And how does the virus really, you know, get passed from one person to another? Because we're 100, well, we have 2,000 plus students on 150 acres, which means we're pretty densely, living together. And as a result, you know, they're shoulder to shoulder in the cafeteria, and we've allowed them to play sports and do things that are part of the sort of normal life. And so you look at that every day and you wonder, is that risky or not?
Right.
And how much control can we exercise? And I think what we've learned is that there are just some things that are higher risk than others. And those are things that if you focus on those in particular, it really helps a lot. And I think as we go into next semester, we're going to learn from this experience and be in a better position to be able to manage that as they go about, you know, their studies and all of the other things that they really benefit from.
Well, very good. Well, Paul, thank you so much. I mean, really, you know, for the elbow grease and the brain power and the prayer and the engagement with the community. We're happy that our children are at Grove City and God's will is upon you to do the right thing. So always a pleasure. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It was nice talking to you, and thank you so much for your support.
Thank you. Paul McNulty, the ninth president of Grove City College. Listen, I mean, it's hard for everybody, but boy, I'd appreciate thoughtful people trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Take a break, come back. We got more ahead.
This election, the lives of millions of unborn children are at stake. Joe Biden has promised to appoint liberal judges that will allow abortions to continue and increase. The Democrats have embraced radical pro-abortion policies that would let doctors perform abortions late into the third trimester, sometimes even after birth. That's right. Some Democrats have suggested that doctors should be allowed to perform abortions after a child is born. President Trump will fight to protect the unborn. He's appointing strong, conservative, pro-life judges. And President Trump boldly reinstated the Mexico City policy, making sure our tax dollars don't go toward funding for abortions abroad. Millions of unborn children's lives are at stake. We must protect them. Vote in person November 3rd for Donald Trump.
I'm Donald Trump, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald J. Trump for President, Inc.
We're all thinking a lot more about staying safe these days. Windows R Us Pittsburgh is no different. When it comes to working around your home, Windows R Us remains committed to the safety of you and your family. For roofs, gutters, and downspouts, siding, and of course windows, Windows R Us Pittsburgh can answer the call. With over 50 years of home remodeling experience, Windows R Us has earned its reputation as the area's premier exterior replacement company. And all work will be done in strict compliance with the government's social distancing guidelines. If you've had damage, you may be eligible for a free repair or replacement. Visit WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com for a free inspection from one of the highly trained appraisers. You'll love their no-pressure approach, no hidden fees, and one of the fastest turnaround times in the industry from a company that will never skip town when it comes to honoring their warranty. Why pay double? Trust the area's premier exterior replacement company, WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com. That's WindowsRUsPittsburgh.com.
I got smart about mortgages. Now it's my house I go home to.
I got smart about credit cards. Now paper or plastic has a whole new meaning.
When it comes to your money, whatever you want to get smart about, you can find it at smartaboutmoney.org. Smartaboutmoney.org is a free online resource from the National Endowment for Financial Education. We're an independent nonprofit foundation dedicated to helping people just like you get sound information about money. Smartaboutmoney.org. It's the easy place to start when you want to get smart.
At Eden Christian Academy, hope is rising. Hope that is secure in God, that builds faith, and inspires a love that can't be stopped. Eden is where parents find hope in a true educational partner, where students see faith woven into every subject, and where teachers model the love of Christ to every child from pre-K through 12th grade. Schedule a personal tour at any of their three North Hills campuses and witness the hope, faith, and love that Eden can offer your child at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
We are everywhere. On your radio at 101.5 WORD FM Pittsburgh, at WordFM.com, the Word FM mobile app, iHeart, TuneIn, and at Radio.com.
Tonight, partly cloudy with a low 31. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 48. mainly clear tomorrow night with a low of 39. Sunday, mostly cloudy, windy with a shower and a high of 51. And Monday, breezy in the morning. Otherwise, a blend of sun and clouds with a high 43. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm Gregory Patrick.
One of my favorite movies that you'll see occasionally on Turner Classic is the Clark Gable, Claudette Colbert, It Happened One Night. I think it's like 1936. I mean, it is such a screwball comedy. It's Frank Capra at its absolute best. And there's a scene in that movie where Clark Gable tries to instruct Claudette Colbert on the fine arts of thumbing a ride.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, and of course, you know, I mean, Clark Gable fails miserably at it if car after another goes past him. And then Claudette Colbert goes, "Let me show you how it's done." And she stands on the side of the road, hikes up her little skirt just a touch.
Right, and then everybody's stopping.
Everybody's stopping, yeah. But, I mean, it's really funny. But, you know, there used to be a time in this country, and it wasn't that long ago, that thumbing a ride was a really sort of common thing to do.
For who?
Wait a second. Well, have you never hitchhiked?
Never. If I ever would have hitchhiked, my dad
really
would have gone into an early grave.
Well, you're a girl. It's the rare girl. Well, not the rare girl, but you know, I mean, most girls did not hitchhike.
Oh my gosh. I can't even believe. Why have you hitchhiked?
Why am I asking that question?
Of course.
I mean, holy heck, before I owned a car, that was my sole way of getting around.
What?
Know? Yeah. Occasionally I would take the bus if I had money, but more often than not, I'd stand by the side of the road. I used to hitchhike on the parkway.
Hitchhikes on the parkway.
I stood by the entrance, the entrance of the parkway and stood there and boom. I mean, I had all kinds of great conversations and very interesting people. Now, granted, some creepy, weird people as well.
No kidding.
But it was an adventure. Mike, okay, have you yourself ever hitchhiked?
No, I refuse to.
Never.
I'm not putting myself in that type of danger. Not today.
Common sense rules here.
Okay, look, I mean, everybody, you know, the horror film or the a lot of horrible, dangerous things happen. But more often than not, 99.99%. I'm telling you guys, it was a regular occurrence. And you would just see people on the side of the road. We used to pick people up. Somebody needs a ride. Yeah, pull over and have some conversation. Where are you going to? I'll drop you off close to where you want to go and you're good to go.
Mike, can you imagine ever doing that?
I can't believe it.
Not in this time period. Like if I was growing up in the 60s and 70s, I don't know. I feel like people were more open. They were nicer. I mean, people would leave their door unlocked all night long when they went to bed. I mean, we're not living like that anymore. Unfortunately, it would be nice. It'd be nice to live like that though.
One time I was with my brother, my soon-to-be brother-in-law and my sister, and we were driving his green pickup truck. And there were like six kids in the back of the pickup truck.
It sounds like a horror film.
I'll tell you how long ago it was because, you know, you can't ride in the back of a pickup truck anymore. But, you know, there were six of his kids in the back. He pulled over and picked up some serviceman, some guy in his military outfit. Mm-hmm. Our kids, we thought that was like the greatest thing in the world.
Oh my gosh.
Are you kidding me? There's an army man in the back of our truck. No, he had like a duffel bag. He was headed to somewhere else.
It could have been an axe in that duffel bag. You know that.
I mean, I feel bad. I mean, seriously, you guys missed out, right? Because there's something beautiful about sticking your thumb out and there you go on the open road.
I think if I had the body of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I think I would do that. I think I would pick somebody up.
But seriously, no one's going to do that today, Mike. I mean, I would never pick anybody up. That era has passed, right?
Right.
When you see somebody thumbing, you think, that's desperation. That poor soul. That is hard times. So even with that, I'm still not going to pick the poor soul up. That's just how it is.
ORD, the station with Pittsburgh's favorite Christian music every weekend.
With the best new music.
New music.
Sparrow's new music from Corey Asbury.
Cause you take good care of me.
Start right here from Casting Crowns.
It's gotta start right here.
And
Truth Be Told by Matthew West.
So let the truth be told.
The best new music and Pittsburgh's favorites.
Brought to you by Trinity Jewelers and Dennis Spira and Associates.
101.5 WORD.
On the weekend.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-494-2323. That's 800-494-2323. 800-494-2323. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company customizes your car insurance with RightTrack, which rewards you for safe driving.
As the world's most careful driver, that's perfect. Now applying 2 pounds of force for acceleration.
You're really
turning in 0.3 miles and begin deceleration.
With Liberty Mutual's RightTrack, you could earn up to 30% savings based on how you drive. Sign up at libertymutual.com/righttrack.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Discount on participating vehicles. Base coverages only. Availability varies.
This radio station accepts political advertising. In fact, we are required to do so by federal law. We understand that not all of our listeners will agree with statements or positions taken by all of these candidates, and sometimes neither do we. This radio station is an important part of this community, and therefore the candidates want to bring their message to you via our airwaves. We do so as a public service, and we are required to do so. Regardless of your position on these issues, please make sure you register to vote so your voice is heard.
Hello, this is Jack Graham, pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church in Dallas and voice of PowerPoint Radio. Let me encourage you to be prepared to vote in this upcoming election. Before the Lord, it is our right and our responsibility to take part in the democratic process. The stakes are far too high to sit back and let others choose the course for our nation's future. Register, plan ahead, and please vote.
It's been another week. That means it's time for John and Kathy's Week in Review. What was everyone talking about this week?
You're counting down, right? Days away from the election. Whoa, hold your breath. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen, right? The world's spinning on its axis. We are waiting with bated breath, right? That's what everyone's talking about.
What was a conversation that made you think?
On Tuesday's show at 4:10, we talked to Justin McBrayer about his new book on fake news. And one of the things he said that blew my mind, but it's so common sense. He said, when you're watching any news source or listening to it or reading it, the question you should ask yourself is this: to whom are they beholden? So if you're listening to NPR or you're watching Fox News, sure, or CNN or whatever, to whom are they beholden? Who do they need to keep to stay on the air? And that will help you sort through why they tell the news the way they tell the news.
Excellent. Yeah, that's just wisdom, right?
It is. It's just common sense, right? But I just never thought about it that way.
Yeah, walk your way around and you'll see. If you read or watch news sources any length of time, you get an idea of what their perspective is. So, yeah. What I was thinking about, the conversation we had, was with Rabbi Aaron Bisno. And now it's been 2 years since the Tree of Life massacre. Those 11 poor souls lost their lives. But Rabbi Bisno spoke so eloquently about the sense of community and the people that he's met that would never have met without these murders happening here in the city of Pittsburgh, and how he's been changed by that. You know, whether it's Jew or Gentile, Christian or not, Pittsburgh is still Pittsburgh. And, you know, in the midst of all this turmoil, it's a good place to be. So I appreciate Rabbi giving a good word about the city of Pittsburgh.
What did you eat?
You know, I live in a pescatarian household because my husband can't eat meat. But every 2 or 3 months, I start to dream about beef and I have to have it. So yeah. I, for my anniversary was taken to the Springfield Grill by my husband. Springfield Grill on 228 in Mars. They have a burger. Now, this is going to sound weird, but I want you to go with me for a minute. They have a burger that they serve on top of a salad, okay? And in the salad is cheese, dill pickles, and Thousand Island dressing. So it's like you're having like a deli burger, but it's like a deconstructed burger.
That's nice.
It's A+.
That's good. I would have that in a heartbeat. Yeah.
It's a so salad good. Burger. I wish I could have it right now.
Very nice. My wife got this idea. We were shopping and she saw a loaf of marble rye bread. And she said, hey, why don't we make homemade Reubens this week? So she bought herself a little brisket of corned beef. We went and got a jar of sauerkraut, some Roquefort dressing, a little Swiss cheese. We did it twice this week.
Because it was that good?
Oh, it was excellent. Warm, right in front of you. We created it the way we wanted it. Homemade Reubens, thumbs up.
What hacked you off?
Well, geez, we just skipped right over. Would we watch? I mean, I'd like to go back
what
to that, Mike.
What did you watch?
There. Like magic.
There we go. There we go.
All right, listen, I just last night finished the sixth season of Bosch.
Oh, God bless you.
It is so good.
Mm, very cool.
I mean, I love myself a cop drama. You name the cop drama, I've probably seen it. Bosch is the number one cop drama ever.
That's cool. Because you know why? Bosch is a bad guy.
Of course he is.
I mean, in a good way.
Yes.
He's just bad. Here comes Bosch. Harry Bosch coming in. Oh, step aside. That guy could be trouble, but he gets it done. Oh, that's nice. I've talked about this a couple of times. I've been watching and loving The Queen's Gambit, which is now airing on Netflix. Okay, there's a few little instances of salty language. There may be some illicit drug use, but that set aside, it's fabulous. I mean, it's thrilling. It's really, really incredible. So it's on Netflix. You got it. The Queen's Gambit. Oh, man, that's some good viewing.
What hacked you off? Oh,
hey, there we go. Boy, am I doubly mad now. I am doubly mad.
What are you mad about?
You know what I'm mad about?
Tell me.
I love me some Ann Kennedy.
Yes.
I love our guest, Ann Kennedy. Preventing Grace is her blog. Her parents worked as missionaries overseas for 40 years. Then they moved to where Anne is living to rent a little place. They settled in. They went back to Oregon, I believe, to pick up their worldly belongings, which included, you know, things that were like precious that I'm sure they did not take with them on their international missions, old family heirlooms. But of course, they took 40 years plus of all the work that they've done around the world. Well, they drove back in a rented U-Haul. Overnight, somebody stole that U-Haul. Someone's entire life contents in a U-Haul, gone forever. And our friend Anne, she's as sweet as the day is long. Mm-hmm. She has been crying and weeping. Now, look, she gets it all. She's a really strong Christian. And she knows it's just, you know, worldly things. But it's her mom and dad. Their hearts are broken. Her heart is broken. Who would do such a dastardly thing? People? Why are people like that? Anyway, if you're so inclined, check out Anne, Preventing Grace blog.
The thing that hacked me off is just people talking about threats of violence after the election. I mean, get over yourself. I cannot believe that somebody would threaten violence when the person they don't vote for wins. I mean, it's people who don't deserve a republic like this. I mean, Jerry Boyer said this years ago, you know you're mature enough for a democracy when you're willing to fight for the right of the person you disagree with to express themselves. I mean, we're so far from that now, John. It's just absolutely crazy. Linking election and violence is what happens in banana republics. It shouldn't happen in the United States.
What was the best news you heard this week?
Times are lean, right? Things are rough. But the Steelers are 6-0. That's what I got.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's what I say as well.
Yeah, dig it.
And in closing, you two have anything meaningful for us?
You got something? I got something.
I sure do have something. I was just reading the book of Daniel. I've mentioned it on the air a couple times in the last week. And it's such an inscrutable book in so many ways. And but the part of it that really caught my attention is at the very end. You know, after Daniel's seen all his incredible visions of catastrophe and suffering and difficulty and, you know, what the end times might be like and all of that, Daniel's like totally freaked out by it, right? It says here, I heard, but I didn't understand. And so I asked my Lord, what will the outcome of all of this be? Question a lot of us are asking as we look toward the election. Mm-hmm. He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined. The wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. And as for you, go your way until the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your inheritance.
That's good. That's really good. Okay, I've been in the book of Luke this week, and I've been thinking about this. I'll only read a little portion, but Luke 6, 12 through 19. And Jesus, you know, goes out and prays. He spends a night in prayer. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose 12 of them, whom he also named apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, and James, son of Alphaeus. Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples, a great multitude of people from all Judea. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their disease. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. So I'm reading that and thinking, what's that like when Jesus says, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you, I pick you. If you're back in that crowd, you're thinking, what are you thinking as you see those guys move forward? Are you thinking, pick me? Or are you jealous? Are you excited? What, you know? Well, I think this, that Jesus has picked us, right? We're here. And so allow yourself to be chosen because he's calling us.
And that's John and Cappy's Week in Review.
Donald Trump never speaks softly. He speaks boldly, as the voice for the voiceless, defending the unborn, the strongest pro-life president in history. He speaks forcefully, protecting the persecuted here and around the world, and for our right to freely practice our faith. He speaks unapologetically, nominating a historic number of judges who will defend our God-given constitutional rights. Joe Biden and the radical left want to continue the Obama-Biden policies that forced immoral values in our homes and schools and support abortion up until the moment of birth. They've attacked President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett for her faith. And Biden wants to rig the Supreme Court, taking away our constitutional rights. Donald Trump speaks for us, boldly leading the way. He's never let us down and never will.
I'm Donald Trump, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Donald Trump for President, Inc.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242. 800-881-4242.
If you're a licensed counselor in Pennsylvania, Grace Wellness Center doesn't want to hire you. They want to partner with you.
At Grace Wellness Center, you'll find the personal support and professional development you need to build your ideal clientele. Grace Wellness Center invests in you so you can invest in your clients. Get the support, training, and personal coaching you need to pursue your passion and build the kingdom with offices throughout Greater Pittsburgh. Join the team at thegracewellnesscenter.com.
Welcome back to Customize and Save with Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, the game show where you only pay for what you need. And we're out of time. Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
You've served our country and made us proud. Many of you have come home, continue to lead, and look out for one another. So it's important we all learn the five signs of emotional suffering. If you or someone you know is experiencing one or more of these signs, reach out, connect, offer to help.
Hey, what's the matter?
In or out of uniform, we can help our families and nation stay strong. Visit changedirection.org.
Having lived in New York City, I follow along news sources and blogs, and I'm always curious about, you know, the goings on, because as wonderful as New York City can be, it often can be, what fresh hell is this? Because, I mean, it's just, it takes a certain amount of grit to live in the city when you are packed in. Well, this is the grittiest of the grits that I've heard in a long time. There is a story about a man in one of the surest signs. This I'm reading from a blog that I follow called The Cut. In one of the surest signs of impending apocalypse we have yet seen, a New York City man fell about 15 feet into a pit of rats when a sidewalk sinkhole opened up under his feet. The ground simply split and swallowed its victim, 33-year-old Leonard Shoulders, as he waited for a bus on Sunday afternoon. Shoulders survived, albeit with a few broken bones, but his family says he is deeply traumatized. Why, yes, he is deeply traumatized. 183rd Street in the Bronx. One minute, Shoulders was standing there. His mother, Cindy White, told NBC4 News. The next, it was like a suction, she recalled. He just went down. Surveillance cameras on the street corroborate her count. Shoulders took one step forward, and the concrete literally opened and ate him.
Oh!
During his descent, debris was falling, hitting him in the head. When he finally landed, he found he was not alone. He said, "Ma, the rats were down there, and it was ridiculous. They were so big," he said. He was scared to yell out because he thought they were going to go in his mouth. His jaw was...
Is this story over yet?
No. His jaw was clamped closed, and instead he waved at onlookers gathering at the cavity's rim. A wise decision given... I'm sorry. This poor man. Given recent reports of heightened rat aggression. Good gravy. The metropolis of New York City.
Oh.
Poor man. I mean, you hear about people like suing municipalities.
Yeah.
If this man does not sue the municipality for his trauma, can you often hear pain and suffering and trauma? This is trauma of the highest degree.
I feel
Leonard Shoulders.
I feel badly for laughing.
I feel badly.
It's the worst ever. You have to laugh because it's the only way you can take it in.
I mean, could you put yourself in that position and you think, if that was me, how would you respond? Horrible, horrible. Like I said at the beginning, New York City's a fabulous place. It can also be, a hellscape.
So,
God bless that poor man.
Oh, you know how when you're in New York and you're, you know, in a subway station and you're down there waiting for, and you know, when you start to see the rats under there, and you just, at first you don't really realize what's happening because you're thinking about other things and you're in New York, and I don't know my way around New York very well. So I have to like pay really close attention to what I'm doing. Then all of a sudden I think, what is that moving?
It's Yeah. It's not a cat.
Right? That's rough.
Happy Cat Day was yesterday, but I mean, So I don't know. But you know what? In a heartbeat, I'd go back, wouldn't you? I mean,
to visit?
To visit, I'd love to go back.
Oh, of course I would. I would go there any day of the week to visit.
Yeah, me too. I mean, look, I got a nephew who spent many years there as well, and he lives in Portland now. Just flew back last week to New York City to visit a friend. He said, you know, it's shocking. He said, really, 25% of the city is up and running. The rest of the city said, really, yeah. And, you know, Alyssa Wilkinson, who joins us on a regular basis, she's a film critic at Vox. I mean, she's posted stuff, you know, oh, people are out in Central Park. Well, Central Park is one thing, but the retail of New York City and the business districts of New York City and, you know, the entertainment and culture, it's in a crater.
Listen, I saw an article. It was an interview with a jeweler who'd been in Times Square, a family business for, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years. Someone walked right in. He was showing some earrings to a couple and they just took the earrings off. And he said there was nobody around. There were no cops. There was no nothing. It was just, he said, it's like the Wild West in Times Square right now.
Hey, thanks for being with us. Sorry to end on that note, but, you know, it's horrific and kind of funny at the same time.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.